But we come to God without regret. And it wasn't part of what I came to share with you. In fact, I actually came to share a whole different message this morning. But I'm going to share something with you regarding the gifts of God that He gives unto us. And for me, there's a strange thing in my life. Whenever I really look into the love of God, or the power of God, and I get all emotional, and I can't stop crying. I've tried to stop, and I just, no matter how much I try to compose myself, I just can't. And it's like this morning, God is wanting to give unto us a reminder of both those things, His love and His power. And God is clearly speaking to us and saying, I love you, my love for you is great, my love for you is awesome, and I don't want you to come to me with a heart full of regrets. And I want you to come to me with a mind full of regrets. And because the thing is, we cannot really receive God's love when we have those regrets, when we have this sense of shame, sense of failure, sense of things I wanted to do or should have done or didn't do, or guilt, or any such kind of similar thing. But let's just summarize it into the things that we regret. And regret can so disempower us, it can disconnect us from the love of God, but also disempowers us from His power. And I feel that God wants to remove that from us completely. And He's already started to do that work during the time of praise and worship, and I trust that you responded in prayer to God during that time. But the Holy Spirit is reminding me so clearly, it says, Anton, no amount of regret in your life is going to change somebody else's life. No amount of regret in your life is going to change your circumstances. Our lives are changed by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Our lives are not changed by our own power. Our lives are not changed by our own deeds. Our lives, in fact, are, in a sense, not in our own hands, but coming with regret and feeling sorry for ourselves and what we should have and could have and wanted to do, those things is not going to change our lives or anybody else's lives. And that is why the song says, I don't have time to maintain these regrets. Woohoo! What a powerful. You know, I always, when I listen to that song, focus on the love of God, and I skip that verse. And this morning, I want to declare unto you that I, from this day onwards, I don't have time to maintain regrets. What I could have and should have and should have done differently or whatever. Or still wanted to do, and the things I think I may have missed out on life. And there are many people, believers, who have received a calling from God, and you may have been serving God for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 some, 50 years. And there may have been things that you wanted to do in life, but you never got around to, or you started and you never finished. And I feel God wants us to come before Him today with a new faith and a clean mind and a clean heart. Without any regret, and a clean conscience, and clean hands before Him, washed by the blood of the Lamb, as we've already received communion this morning, and just as a reminder of the blood that has washed us clean. And, like I said, I plan to speak on something completely different this morning, and very early this morning I woke up, and it's like the Lord just planted something else in my heart, concerning how we lose it out. How we sometimes sell ourselves short in terms of not only the love of God, but the power of God. And I'm going to start off with scripture, John 14, verse 12 to 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me also will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is a promise from Jesus Christ, and He says, he who believes, of anyone here that believes, Jesus. Okay. So let's read this together. We're going to change the words. How am I going to change these words? Never mind. Just apply it to yourself. And say it to yourself. Say, I can do all the works that Jesus has done and even greater things because I'm a believer. And all of a sudden that song pops in my head, I believe, I'm flying, and you haven't touched this fire, but that's not the psalm I am doing today. It's about believing in Jesus, and Jesus is saying this to us, this prophecy says, guys, because we look at Jesus, we say, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus up there, Jesus walked on water, Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, Jesus calmed the seas and the storm, and Jesus did these mighty things. I mean, Jesus walked through walls. Anybody done that lately? I haven't tried it yet. You need to be sure you're going to get it right. Otherwise, you might get injured. But the point is, we look at Jesus high up there, we're thinking, we will never attain to what Jesus has done. And we can never do what he's done. And we can never even come close to him. But in the sense, we are right, because he is the Lord of Lords and he's the King of Kings, and we bow to him. But then Jesus says, I want you to think differently, guys, because the things I've done and the miracles that I've done through my hands have been done by the power of the Spirit of God, who is part of the Godhead, but he's the one that is giving the power. And that is why Jesus says, I'm giving you the same Holy Spirit, the same power, the same Holy Spirit, the same person that was with Jesus is with you and I, and therefore we can do the same things. And Jesus tries to change our minds, and he says, you know how they're going to do the same thing as I've done? You're going to do greater things, because there's going to be more people on the earth. There's going to be more people to see. There's going to be more people to heal. There's going to be more demons to be cast out. There's going to be more things, and the challenges may even increase as time goes by. So, I have, from time to time, I read the scripture, and then I feel always like I'm falling short. I always feel like, God, this is in your word, and I want to see this. I want to be able to ask you anything in your name and see that it happens. And I want to do the things that you have done, and even greater. And I always keep telling myself, I'm just falling short, and I'm waiting for that one day that I'm going to make it. And I believe God is wanting us to say, stop waiting. Stop maintaining regrets. Stop maintaining your shortfalls and your failures and your lack of faith and your sinfulness and your weaknesses. Stop that. And look, because it's not about you and your weaknesses or your strengths. No lie. It's about just simply putting our faith in Jesus. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I believe that God wants to restore us not only today, but he's going to take us as a church into a season of harvest time in the next 2 or 3 months. And we're going to go into a season where we're going to start seeing signs and wonders, not by my hands, yes, by mine also, but by yours. And through your prayers, and through your prophecies, and through your testimonies, and through you, your visiting people in their homes, lives are going to be changed. And I'm trusting God that before the next 2 months is out, that we're going to see double the amount of people here and more. Not by my hands, but by yours. God wants to empower you afresh. And this is not a temporary empowerment. This is not a feel-good on a certain Sunday, and we had a wow, what a wonderful worship time in the presence of God. This is just an entry point for us to go further, to go beyond. Next weekend, there's a mission team coming to visit us from the Johannesburg Church. So they are neighbors, so they're not really like a mission team for us, but they're a mission team. And they come in here, and I think it's 2 men and 4 ladies that's coming to serve here in Sanderton, and they're going to be doing house visitations and door-to-door and follow-up and going to visit people, many people that you know that they will visit. And I'm trusting God that over the course of that weekend, many people will come in, but we're going to need to follow those same people up. And it is in my heart and my mind and in my planning that after Awaken, that we will as a church also have our own outreach here in our community. In the exact nature of it, I'm still praying about, but the weekend at this stage, the weekend after Awaken, I'd like us to reach out, and possibly even a month after that as well. But for me, it's not about an event, it's not about a weekend, it's not about next weekend because there's a team coming. It's not about the weekend after Awaken because we have a special outreach weekend. It's about coming into a lifestyle of reaching out, of tapping into the power of God, the love of God, first of all, that lays the foundation. Because if we don't have the love of God, then the power of God is going to mean very little to people. They may be healed temporarily, but a year from now, they're going to get sick again. And then what? They still don't have the love of God. They still haven't
receive the salvation of God. So he must have these two things, his love and his power in him. And so as it has changed my life, freely I receive, freely give. And as we spoke about to the youth on Friday, Bruce was reading from Romans chapter 1. And there was that one scripture where it said something in the line of, I'm striving to go out to preach about the gospel. Let me just go read that quickly. Sort of come to my mind as I'm talking to you, Romans chapter 1. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But then verse 15 says, so as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. He says, I desire, I am ready, I am activated. It's like I'm all you need to press is the launch button, poof, and then my rocket's going to launch, and I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to go preaching to you, and I'm going to be sharing with you. And my question to you this morning is the same one I'm asking to myself. In what state of readiness am I to launch the Word of God into the lives of a community so that that community can be changed? Who of you are watching the news every now and then? Okay, some of you. Who of you are aware about the tensions between North Korea and South Korea and America? And nuclear war and the threats about that, and some people are quite stressed about that. The fact is, there's three countries in a state of readiness with their fingers sitting there at the button. America, South Korea, and North Korea. They're in that state of readiness. And I can promise you that if North Korea launches a rocket, there's going to be a response, immediate response, from South Korea and from America. They will probably intercept anything that North Korea sends to them. That's the state of readiness that they're in. And so Paul is saying, man, I've got a nuclear bomb in my heart. And I'm ready to let this nuclear bomb explode in Rome. That this nuclear, do you agree with me that a nuclear bomb changes things? It changes a city. It changes its history. It changes how people think. The place, how the place looks. It changes things. And I just see Paul say, I've got a nuclear bomb in my heart and I'm ready to unleash this there in Rome. But it's not a destructive thing that's going to destroy and kill and steal as Satan does, but that we will have life and life in abundance. And so in my own heart, I have this overwhelming, burning desire to go out for the love of God, to go out for the power of God, to see other people's lives change, your lives, but not just yours, that you may go and reach other lives. And if I may just take this moment to speak with you frankly, it's one of the reasons why Christelle and I will be moving to Stellenbosch. It's not because we don't love you, we don't care. We love you so much. We care for you so much. And we're going to miss you so incredibly. But it's like the Apostle Paul said to the Romans, to the Ephesians, to the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians. He speaks about how much he loves them, how much he misses them. But then he says, I have to go here as well, and I have to go there as well, and I have to go there as well. And there's places that God wants to send me, and it's going to take a lot of time and effort for me to go around this continent where God is sending me. Because of what is locked inside my heart. I have to go because there's other people outside of Stanton that I need to go and reach. My message to you now, however, this morning is, you are here to reach this people. What are you going to do? How are you going to reach out? Let's look at Mark chapter 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Again, Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe. That's all of us. We need to see these signs in our lives. And if we are not seeing these signs in our lives, it means that we are not moving according to everything that God has for us. The power of God is not fully manifested yet, and all that is needed is for us to come to God with faith And I've been battling a little bit with this concept of faith because I'm wondering, God, why do we really need faith? Why can't it just go up like a double simsa and then kapoor and then it happens? Why do we need faith? And I can't claim that I have understanding of all of this, but I think there's a dimension in the spiritual realm, like faith is an activating force that releases the dunamis power of God. And we need to understand what the dunamis power of God is. It's a literal, a spiritual energy. Dunamis is the word for power in the Greek there. And that's where we get the word dynamite from. And if we read a little bit up about that word, then it speaks of a force or an energy or a power. And that is why when the lady touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he said, "Who has touched me?" Because power has gone out of me. There was literally a current that went out of him physically. Now, there were many people around that lady who was touching Jesus. And then that's why when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Everybody says, "Man, Jesus, with all due respect, are you crazy? There's like 10,000 people around you, they're all touching you. Everybody's touching you. But not everybody received the power of God. Not everybody received healing. Not everybody received the release of God's power. Because not everyone was believing." And that's what I said earlier this morning, during the time of worship, that this is the time that God says, "Now ask. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And it's the word of the Lord this morning was, you have not because you ask not. But when you ask, you still don't receive because you lack faith. We need to have faith and come to God. It's like the switch that allows the light to go on. If you don't flick the switch, there can be power. There's electricity, there's cables, there's a bulb. Everything is ready. But unless you flick the switch, there will be no light. We don't have lights in our house because we are wonderful people. We don't have lights in our house because we are wealthy people. We have lights in our house because we switch it on. We need to switch on this morning. Switch on the mind of our today. It's not that difficult to switch it on. It's simply saying, "God, I'm going to go wherever you send me." We sang it this morning. "Wherever you send me, there I will go." You know, if it's going to be Azalea, or if it's going to be in the main road, or if it's going to be visiting somebody in some business or a work colleague, I'll go to whoever you send me and bring your message of love and of your power, divine power. And trust me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. I'm hoping that I can get through to what I want to today. I've got actually too much to say. Matthew 10, verse 5 to 16. This is where Jesus sent out the 12. And I'm just going to rush through it. "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without pain, give without pain. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your money, or two tunics or sandals or a staff for the laborer who serves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it.'" Another translation says, "Find out who is the man of peace, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace stand upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." I'm going to stop there. This is Jesus sending out the 12. In Luke chapter 10, he sends out 70 other disciples, excluding these 12. And he gives them very much the same kind of command and instructions. And he says, go to specific towns. The Bible says that the towns where Jesus was about to go to himself. In other words, the places that he was going to visit, those were the towns that there was expecting a visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm sending you in advance to go there to prepare the ground because I'm coming. And when I come, God is going to move in a mighty way. And he says to them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. These are the things that you and I need to do and be able to do on a regular basis. Not once a year when we have foundations in four. Not once in 3 years when we go on a mission trip. But we need to be able to break down strongholds in our own lives and the lives of others, and to break the patterns of sin in our lives, to break strongholds and bondages of sins in our lives, and say, I'm going to break this alcoholic thing, or this smoking thing, or the swearing thing, or the lying thing, and then I'm going to break it in Jesus' name, and to have that down of faith, and say, I'm going to release a natural bomb kind of power of God upon this person, upon that situation, to destroy the works of Satan, and to bring about the works of God. He says to them, don't worry about money and food and clothes and those kind of things. I will provide for you. When you get there, the worker is worthy of his wages. But then he also says to them, go to the man of peace. Find the man of peace. And this is why I want to challenge you this morning, to find the man of peace or the woman of peace in your workplace, in your street, in your family, in your circle of friends. There's somebody. How do we define a man of peace? A man of peace is somebody that is open to you and open to listen to the message of the gospel in one way or another. Whether you're telling a testimony or whether you're just briefly talking about God a little bit, but somebody that's open to you and somebody that's open to talk to you about God or what they would call religious things. And so he's like, don't go house to house and everywhere and go like a crazy Rambo. Who of you watched Rambo maybe years ago? And Rambo goes, have you noticed Rambo never misses? You know, it's like 100 guys there, he stands with his one gun and he goes, nobody else can do that, but Rambo can do that. You know, he can just take his machine gun, put it on an automatic, and he's going to hit everything. And he hits every target. But in real life, it doesn't quite work that way. In real life, you actually need a sniper. It says, okay, I'm picking out that guy, and you go, one shot. Okay, that guy. And I believe God wants you, as the church, to rise up this morning and to pray about the man and the woman of peace in your area. And say, Lord, help me to have the guts and the boldness to go to that person. Help me to have the guts and the boldness to go pray for that person. Nobody's going to refuse if you ask if God, if you can pray for them. One out of a million will say, no, I don't want to pray for them. But most people will say, please pray for them. Even if they're not believers, they'll say, please pray for them, because everybody needs help of some sort. So my challenge to you is go and find the men and women of peace in your prayer. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 1 to 6. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, verse 1 speaks about the fact that we must not be uninformed. And so that's why I'm sharing with you this morning. Maybe. Some of these things we teach at Foundation 1 a little bit. But I just want to recap with you today, because I believe this is what God wants to do from this day on. Today, some of you are going to prophesy for somebody. Today, now, today, some of you are going to pray for a sick person before you leave this door. And we're going to move out and go and do what God has called us to do. So therefore, we must not be ignorant. We must not have understanding about what these gifts are that God gives to you. It's like we are soldiers and, we get weapons from God, whether it's swords or guns or whatever. And the gifts that God gives you, that's our weapons. Now, let me just tell you a quick story. One of the times I was really quite scared is when I went to visit a friend of mine. I was in the Paul's Gymnasium High School at the time. And I visited my friend at his farm. And he had an older grandmother that was also there at the time. And we went out target shooting with revolvers and pistols. And the lady thought she could shoot very well. And she didn't actually hit the target. But then she had the thing, a bullet in the chamber. The safety ball, the gun cocked, and a finger on the trigger, and she was pointing it like this towards me and my friend while she's talking to us like this. Now, I don't know if you know anything about guns, but that's the most stupidest thing you can possibly do. And I'm looking at my friend, and I'm looking with my big eyes, and I'm making them bigger, like, it's your grandmother, talk to her now. And he was also too scared to talk to her. Finally, his dad saw what happened, and he freaked out and said, oh, my fuck you! And he took the gun from her, and he said, yeah, my mom, I said, I don't. Because she didn't know how to handle the gun. She was ignorant. And so I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about these gifts. For some of you, it may be recapping, but if it is not news for you, then I'd like you to just pray quietly in the Spirit for what God wants to do this morning. First of all, we're speaking about three different types of gifts or ministries here. Verse 4 says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. In other words, Jesus did time. And varieties of activities, but it's the same God. So there's three types of gifts or empowerments from three different people. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. Did you see that? Okay. Now, I'm just going to read to you quickly where some of them are. Romans 2, verse 6 to 8. These are the gifts of the Father. I'm going to read it very quickly. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them in prophecy in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Okay. So there's seven gifts that he's speaking about here, and these are the gifts that you are born with. These are your natural abilities. These are the things that God has built into you. It's one or two of these things. And in fact, all of us really have a little bit of everything. But there's two or three things that's going to stand in your life. The first one is prophecy or discernment, meaning that you have a natural ability to see things, to perceive things, to have an awareness of what's going on around you and what's happening in people's lives. Who of you know somebody like that? Come on, raise your hand. You know, it's like that's just somehow know when you're down. They just somehow know when you're lying. Maybe your mom, maybe your dad, you can check with your mom, you can't check with somebody like that. He's got that natural ability, that natural discernment. This is one of my gifts as well. That's why I often hear people say, what was your bum for that? Is that your fucking character? Because sometimes people think I look straight through them and I see all their sins. I actually don't. And you don't have to run away from me if I look at you. But it's nice people who can naturally see things and they will notice what others don't notice. Then there's those who serve. In other words, the guy who quietly helps you with the sound and fixing things and somebody that serves you. And there are few people like this, but they are such treasures. People who serve. Such a blessing to be a servant or someone with a servant's heart. Then there are those who teach. And they always want to teach you and correct you, like you did this wrong, and you should then do that wrong. And if your mother's like that, man, then you've got a problem growing up. Because then she's going to correct you about everything you do. And then you're going to answer it like many teenagers do. Ach, ma. Am I right? Then, exhortation. The Afrikaans is for mine, which means to correct in a loving manner. To do that consistently. Maybe that's one of your giftings. The next one is giving. These are people who love to give. They just always give. And you know, when you're in primary school, you always make friends with a giver. Because he's going to give you half of the lunchbox that his mommy's packed in there. And normally a giver's got a mommy that's also a giver, so it's always good to be friends with the givers. But it's a blessing to be a giver. Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm actually a little bit of a giver myself as well. Then leading. To lead others, it's your natural ability to do that. And the last one is mercy. These are the people that would go to the hospitals, visit the people there, clean the wounds. And others would say, no, I can't handle that. But the mercy person is the one that says, I'm going to go to pain. The mercy is the one that goes drawn to pain and say, I'm not going to run away from pain. I want to see pain. I want to touch pain. I want to feel pain. I want to heal, and I want to restore. And these are some of the natural things that God has given you in your life to go and change other people's lives. And the word of God to you this morning is go and use what God has given you. Do not live a life of regret. Do not come to the end of your life and say, if only I used my gift of giving with more liberality. If only I used my gift of mercy more of the time. If I wasn't too shy to just go to people and say, listen, I really feel your pain, can I pray with you? If only. Let us today make a decision to cut out those words. If only I did this, if only I had that. Let us make a decision today to say, these are my gifts. Anybody use them? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13 gives us other five gifts, the gifts from Jesus. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, we have natural abilities, then we have spiritual gifts that I'm going to talk to you about now, and then if we are faithful, then God will lead us and appoint some of us into these five positions, but not all of us are going to be in fivefold ministry. Okay? And that's okay. You don't have to be in fivefold ministry. You need to use what God has given you, and then as we are faithful, sometimes God will take it and say, now, you're going to go in this area or in that area. But the fact is, all of us can be an evangelist. In fact, we are all called to evangelize people. All of us can be a pastor, you can be a cell leader, you can be a teacher, you can be nurturing, you can have all of these things in your life, or any of those things, maybe any one of those things. It doesn't mean that you're going to be full-time as a vocation, go around prophesying over people, or go around and evangelizing. But so many times people come to me, young people, and they say, oh, well, I'm going to be an evangelist. God has called me to be an evangelist. And I'm going to be like Ryan Bocker, and I'm going to preach in front of the millions of people. And my simple question is, how many people have you led to Jesus this week? And this month, this year? Most of the time, the answer is almost none or very few. Go and do what God has called you to do. I'm not going to teach much on these fivefold ministry right now, but I just want you to understand where they fit into the bigger picture. Now let's come to the gifts of the Spirit, and I want to spend a little bit more time on these. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the one is given the Spirit to the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. What I'd like to say to you today is that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have been filled with the Spirit, you have access, in a sense, to all nine of these gifts. God can use all nine of these gifts in your life. But the Bible also says that God gives it to each one as he wills and when he wills. Now, there's two things I want to highlight here for you. And that is our availability or willingness. In other words, God's not going to give you, let's say there's a sick person here in this room today. Is there anybody here that's sick? Anyone? No. Is that hand up or is it, are you rubbing your nose? Okay. So we don't have a sick person here. At least one. Okay. Jasmine's in the sick today. Alright, so that means God is going to look here and he's going to scan and he's going to say, who's ready to launch? Who's nuclear rocket is sitting there ready to go? For God to push the button and he looks and he looks and he looks and he says, here's something that's willing. Okay. There's another guy that's willing. There's another one that's willing. Okay, that guy's ready. Okay, so we've got four guys here that's ready to go and pray for her that she can be healed. Okay, that's our readiness, our willingness. But then comes the next one. Obedience. Now God says, okay, go. Go pray for Jason. She's got bronchitis or some thing there on her chest. Go pray for her. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Giovanni, and he's thinking, you know, I don't really know Brenda that well. And she knows she's sleeping, and she looks very much at peace there. And so he sits, and the next guy sits, and the next guy sits, and then the third guy, the fourth guy, but wasn't that just you? And the Holy Spirit points out and he says, okay, let me go. And he walks up off the church, and he lays hands on her and prays for her, and the gift of healing falls upon him, and right there, in that moment, the Holy Spirit empowers him, and the gifts of healing is going through him to bring about that healing. The same thing applies. When I was saying earlier this morning, during the time of praise and worship, I said, is there anybody here that's got a word of prophecy, a word of encouragement for the church? The Holy Spirit had some things to say. I guarantee you he had things to say. He was looking for rockets ready to be launched. And then he saw a few rockets ready to be launched. And then he spoke, but not all the rockets did go to the front. I think there may have been one or two rockets more that should have come, that didn't come. Because we're too scared, we think, oh, other people have come already, could have been there, or the service was already going on too long, and we have all these reasons and excuses and explanations to ourselves why we are not moving in obedience. And so the Holy Spirit gives according to how he wills, in terms of our readiness and our obedience. And I'm asking you to put on a state of readiness today. I ask you here just to put on a state of obedience and say, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it rightly, immediately. Let me give you a practical tip. Don't perspire. Don't perspire until tomorrow what you can do today. Amen. Sylvia asked me this morning as we entered into the door, I was just remembered to speak about the testimony that I was been promising for the last 2 weeks or so. And the testimony is in fact still in the making. But let me share with you what happened. Christelle and I prayed on Thursday night for a house to be sold. On Friday morning we prayed again. And I asked Heinrich, said, Heinrich, please pray with me. And so Christelle and I spent about an hour praying on Friday morning. And we got up and Christelle went for a walk, still praying. And while she was out, one of the estate agents came into our house and said, listen, I've got a buyer here and it's a cash buyer. The guy walked, older man, walked through the house and said, man, I like this house, I'm taking it. Let's go to the bank. Let's go now. And we're not going to buy this place. At the exact price that we wanted. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing that God wants us to pray so quickly? And the estate agent said, he's got another appointment, and he's got to go here, and he's got to go there. And let's do it on Monday, and then you come and bring your proof of money, that you actually have the money, and then we'll sign the contract, and then we'll carry on. And Monday, the guy didn't come. So that's the bad news. The good news is God answered that prayer while we were praying for sin to come. But because we somehow missed out on another opportunity, that night long, he was ready to go to the bank, finally go down. And sometimes in life, you may have that opportunity and God says, you must act right now. Right now. I remember when we were doing house visitation as our cell groups in Stellenbosch. I was still a university student and our cell was sort of walking up and down the passages of the hospital praying. And then we'd go in two by two and say to the people, what is wrong with you? What's your name? And can we pray with you? And we would maybe sometimes minister to them. And every now and then we would lead somebody to Jesus. And I saw an elderly man lying in his bed and a whole bunch of family around him. And I realized, okay, this is serious. Maybe this man is at the end of his life. And I had this unction in my heart to go and speak to him. But then I thought to myself, what about the family? And they're crying and they're sobbing. I could see the guy's breathing. I could see he's awake. I could see he's with it. But I didn't go in there because I felt that maybe I'm going to offend this family here that's got this intimate moment here. I thought, maybe I'll just come where the family's gone out, maybe after visiting hour, maybe 20 minutes from now, I'll come back and I'll pray for this man. And lead him to Jesus. And I walked in 5 minutes later, I went back and he was dead. The 20 minutes never came. Now again, the song comes up. I don't have time to maintain these regrets. I cannot go throughout my life maintaining the regret that I did not pray for that man on time. I was disobedient because I was scared of the family and of offending the family. But let me tell you, I would rather go and offend the family today and risk, as opposed to risking that that man might actually go to hell. Because I was 5 minutes too late. I was there. I couldn't have done it, but I did. But now, unfortunately, many of us react in the wrong way. We say, well, I'm such a failure. And how will God ever trust me? How will God ever use me again? And then we become less usable to God. And we do even less for Him because of those regrets that we are maintaining. Throw away your regrets today in Jesus' name. And when you get the opportunity to reach out and to change somebody's life, you're going to do it. That is my prayer every week this day. My battery is full, my phone is dead, so I don't even know what the time is now. I want to share a few more things, but I think I'm going to close now. My slip is just running through those 9 gifts I'm not going to teach on each one of them in the future time. The gift of wisdom. To have an understanding that nobody else does. Like Noah, we beam out of the ark that nobody else has ever built upon. God can give you supernatural wisdom in the workplace, those who are engineers. God can give Brendan a solution that none of his seniors can find, and he will find it supernaturally. A physical, mathematical problem that he can receive a solution to supernaturally. That's the gift of wisdom. There can be a marital problem, and you don't know how to work this out. You don't know what is the problem, and suddenly God shows you, this is the one thing that you need to say, this is the one thing that you need to do, and God gives you the wisdom in that moment. You have been given, that's one of your weapons. Don't say, oh, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do know what to do. You say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do, tell me, and then He tells you what to do. But we cannot, any one of us, sit and say, I don't know what to do, because you've been given a gift. You've been given a weapon. It's one of your 9 weapons. Use it. Launch it. The next one is the word of knowledge. Another supernatural information that I would know supernaturally that somebody was raped or somebody was robbed through an armed robbery or was some kind of supernatural information that God will give us. And it's amazing to operate like that. I'm not going to go into it now. It's a whole teaching on its own. Then comes faith. And this, we all have a measure of faith, but this is the faith to move mountains. This is the faith to make a storm stand still. This is the faith to make the sea calm down. This is the faith to speak to your car without petrol and say, calm in the name of Jesus, run, and then it runs. Who have you ever heard testimonies like that? Okay? I've experienced it on one mission trip, and the car was broken, it was dead, and we commanded in the name of Jesus, say, car in the name of Jesus, you will start now. And the spot we went another 1,000 kilometers with it before it broke again. That's the gift of faith. Then comes another one, the gift of healing, which is quite simple when your body is sick, to bring healing. The gift of miracles. What's the difference between the two? Turning water into wine is a miracle. Multiplying the bread is a miracle. Walking on water is a miracle. So healing is with the body and the miracles is the rest. Okay? We call healings miracles. Same thing, doesn't really matter. Then prophecy. Very simply, it's a message from God for somebody else. It's not about fortune telling and this and that. And some people say, well, it's only about the past. It's very simple. It's a message from God. That message can pertain to the past, the present, or the future. It doesn't matter. It's a message from God. There can be a message from God for one person. God says, don't worry about it. That boyfriend that dropped you, he's a bigger one coming. Your husband won't back. Okay? That specific message. A simple message like that can change somebody's life. Or a message to a group, or even a town, or even an Afrikaner people, or the Xhosa people, or the Zulu people, or our nation. A word from God. Let me just stop on this one. The Apostle Paul prays and he says, I pray that all of you will prophesy. He says, it is my deep prayer that you will walk through this. Because you're going to give the Word of God, the living Word of God, not only the written Word of God, but the now Word of God, echoing from Him. And I often pray and I say, Lord, why are you so silent? Why is it that we don't hear your voice? Why is it like in the days of Moses that people could hear you before themselves? And it's like God is saying to me, I'm just because my prophets are silent. People don't hear my voice because my people, my prophets, in whom I put my spirit, in whom I put my voice, in whom I've given my prophecies and my word, they do not speak. And therefore people do not hear the word of God. Because we keep silent. Every one of you that have received the Spirit of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit have received the gift of prophecy. Which means every one of you can prophesy. Every one of you can tell what is God saying to someone else. Every one of us can do that. But we keep so silent. Then God spoke through the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, I think it was, and he said, in those days, which means these days, after Jesus, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy, and the old men will see dreams, and the young people will dream. Old people will dream, the young people will see visions. But what he's saying is, I'm going to communicate to my people, men and women, by the way, not just the men, young and old. Now that God's going to use the little ones in children's church, like he's doing in India, 8,000 people, not teenagers, 12 years and younger, 8,000 of them in the church in India, they all prophesy, they all pray for the sick, they all have all 9 of these gifts, 8,000 of them under the age of 12. No adults. Because the Spirit of God is moving. We say, speak about a time like this, and say, well, this child is not responding to the Word of God. Well, maybe it's because they're not hearing the Word of God. Because the prophets are silent. You are a prophet. And a prophet is. You are a carrier of God's word in your school, your workplace, wherever you are. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm not talking about next weekend. To another ability to distinguish between spirits, angelic beings, demonic spirits, when you're casting the demons that know what it is. Also to discern false prophets. To another various kinds of tongues. You better be speaking foreign languages. Like I did. Was there another testimony of the time that I spoke in Khoza without me even knowing one word of Khoza? But supernaturally I spoke Khoza even making the clicking sounds right. And then the last one is the gift of interpretation. To understand what somebody says. So in other words, if I start speaking in Spanish here this morning, then suddenly somebody understands Spanish and she will come. And she will come and say, listen, Pastor Anton was actually speaking today. I don't know what language he was speaking, but this is what he said. And she will give the interpretation. I've heard an extreme testimony, but I don't think it's supposed to be extreme. I think it's supposed to be normal. Of a mission team from Somerset West. It wasn't a show of my team, it was another team. Now we're Christian Fellowship, I think it was. Went out to a place called Bulgaria, I think it was. And they got there, and once they landed on that place, the whole team was able to speak their own language and understand it. Not only did they speak the language like we do without understanding, they actually gained understanding as well. And the moment they landed back in South Africa, they couldn't speak it anymore. They forgot. Because for that moment, for that time, God gave them ability to see the language. I can take up on and on and on with the testimonies regarding this. Let's go and use it. I'm going to close with 2 scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you can prophesy. Verse 26. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up, for edification of us. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only 2 or 3 at the most, and each one in turn let someone interpret. That means that somebody speaks in tongues over the microphone. Not if we all sing in tongues together, or if we all pray in tongues in intercession, then we don't interpret, but if somebody speaks in tongues. Let 2 or 3 prophets speak, but let the others weigh what is said, not as tested. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that we can all learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. But God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as is in all the churches of the saints. During the time of Stella in friendship, he was a young man who every now and then, every second Sunday, he would come to the front during just after worship. And when I said to anybody a word, let's go with it, he would come, bring a word from God. And the words of that he thought was always accurate, was always a word from the Lord, life-changing word. But he would come to the front and he would go like this. Who the Lord would say? In his head, and he would really shake, and that sort of turned people off, and they couldn't even actually listen to what he was saying. And one Sunday he did that again, and he fell over backwards, and he hit his head on the step, like a little step like that, and clack, and I thought his head was going to pop out like a watermelon. But it didn't happen. After the spoken, I said, listen, the words are deep.
It's good. It's what God.
But stop the shaking. Just stand still. Because it causes people to not receive what you're saying, so there's no point. The point is to edify. People are not actually edified for what's happening right now. They're rejecting the word you're saying because of what's the shaking. So stop the shaking and prophesy the word. He said, no, I can't. What do you do? They don't control. Now, I said these words. I said, listen, if you don't have control, then on one hand was the source of the shame. Because my Bible says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If you can't control this, then I don't think it's God. He got offended, walked out, and never came back to church again. But people, we have to be ready. Sometimes God is going to make a shame. Sometimes there will be shame. Sometimes there will be something that's shouting loudly and tongues under the fire of God. We will see such things like that. But the reason why I'm telling you is we need to have discernment as well. Not everyone who shakes is shaken by the Spirit of God. Not everyone who falls over is falling over by the power of God. We need to have discernment and we need to be wise in how we manifest these things. But the flip side of the coin of the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet is that if there's a word of prophecy that is going on to you today, the angels are not going to come and pick you up, flying all over. You know, I used to hear and say, shake my tongue and say, thus say over the mouth of the Lord, and force the prophecy out of my mouth. My spirit is subject to the spirit of the prophet, is subject to the prophet. In other words, God says, you have a word of prophecy from that guy. It is my choice whether I'm going to give it to him or not. You have a choice, people, whether you're going to use the arsenal of God, the 9 atom bombs that's in your back pocket that God has given you, or whether you just going to sit around and let time go by without using it. Now, at another time I might speak more about how to use this. For now, I'm just saying, go out. Let the Holy Spirit use you. This first time I started using these things, nobody taught me really how to do this. I just went for it. I said, God, this is what I must do. And I went like a rocket. Made some mistakes along the way, but rather God makes the mistake that you've done. I've got 20 things more to say, but I'm going to stop. I want us to pray. Firstly, I want to know who's going to pray for Jason. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. anybody in heaven, you need to trust in God for a word. You need to make a big decision. Or you just want God to speak to you. But I want you to just come to God. You want God to speak to you. If you have a need that God speaks to you about something in your life.
Speaks and he says, pray
kindness to the little ones. This morning when I woke up, I thought,